This morning we have read of a momentous event in the history of the nation of Israel. King David was getting on in years, and he was no longer the man who he used to be. He had come to a decision to pass on the kingship before he died, and the Lord had made it clear that Solomon was to be the one who would reign over Israel after David. He was to be King David's successor. That is shown for us in 1 Chronicles and the chapter number 22 and the verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9 and 10. Where David is quoting really what the Lord had said to him. And he says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." So Solomon was chosen to be king before he was even born. In this chapter that we have before us here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we see that there was a great assembly that had gathered. We see that in the opening verse, that there was a great multitude of people. There was a great congregation, and that many important figures, a whole variety. There was the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes. There was the captains of the companies and so on who had come to hear what David had to say. They come to Jerusalem, the capital, the logical place, and they had come to hear the message that David wanted to give them. They had come to hear an address, and this address, really it can be split into, I believe, two sections. You have firstly the public address. We have that from verse 2 down to verse number 8. And we see there that in verse 2 we read of David's desire. It says, "As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for building." David wanted to build the temple. He wanted to build the house of God in Jerusalem. Up until that point, the tabernacle was still in operation. But he wanted to build the temple. But then, in verse 3, we see there was a prohibition. Because it records, it says, "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood." David was not allowed to build the temple because he was the man of war. He had shed blood. He had committed a murder. We think of that incident with Bathsheba and Uriah and how that David had set up the murder of Uriah. But how true it is, though, that often our ways, David here, his way was that he would build the temple, but yet it wasn't God's way. And how true it is that our ways are not always God's ways. We often can have our own ideas and how we may want to serve the Lord, or how we may want to do something, but yet it is not the way of the Lord. And then we see there was a great announcement that was made, and that was that Solomon was to succeed him as king. We see that in verse 5. "He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." And then in verse 8, we have a command given by David. It says, "Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God." The command was to obey God, to obey his commands. And certainly there's many today, and they would not like such a command like this. But yet even today as believers, we are to live holy lives. We are to seek to obey the commands of God. But then David, he then turned to Solomon, and he gave him a personal address. He gave him this charge that we have read this morning. And in it there was a great spiritual exhortation. And that address, that is, it really begins in the verse 9. And firstly we see there's an exhortation to know God. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." He exhorted him to know God. He exhorted him to worship him as God. David, he knew the blessing of knowing God. But this morning, friend, do you know God? Do you love him? Do you worship him? Then he exhorted him to serve him. He exhorted him to serve the Lord. He wasn't to serve himself. He wasn't to serve idols. He wasn't to be, as it were, a slave to his own lusts and desires. No, he was to serve the Lord. And he was to serve him with a perfect heart. He was to serve him with that upright heart. He was to serve him righteously. He was to do that which was right in the sight of God. But then it also says that he was to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. He was to be willing. He was not to serve the Lord because he felt he had to, but it was to be because he wanted to. This morning, do you have such a willing heart? Do you have a willing heart to serve the Lord and to obey him? Then there was a reminder of the omniscience of God in verse 9, where it says, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." And the Lord, he knows all things. He knows the hearts of every man and every woman. And he will not be deceived by men. No one will deceive the Lord. You may fool others. You may fool those around you. We could perhaps think of Simon the sorcerer and how that he even went as far as being baptized there. And I think it's maybe Acts chapter 8 or Acts chapter 9. He went as far as being baptized. He had fooled those around him. But yet he couldn't fool the Lord. But then at the end of verse 9, we have some wonderful words that I wish to take as my text this morning. And those words at the end of verse 9, they read, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And this morning I wish to divide this portion of David's wise counsel to Solomon just into two sections, and to seek to examine them as far as time will allow us this morning. So firstly, we see that in this text there is a word of comfort. Our text, it reads, the first section, it says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee." What great and wonderful words these are. Do they not bring comfort? Do they not bring hope? If you seek him, he will be found of thee. And we see there the person who we are to seek. And that person is the Lord. That is clear from the text. For as it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, if thou seek him." David was talking about the Lord. And now he says, "If thou seek him." He was the person who Solomon was to seek. And that person, the Lord, well, he is one who is sovereign. He is sovereign over all things, and he is powerful. He is the one who created the world. We think of the words of Amos 4 and the verse 13. Amos 4, verse 13, it reads, "For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts is his name." We see there that the Lord, he is the one who formed the mountains. He created the wind. He declares unto man what is his thought. And then as well in Isaiah chapter 45, in Isaiah chapter 45, and in the verse number 18, we read there, it says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." The Lord is sovereign over creation. He is sovereign over all things. And even in these uncertain days that we live in, is it not a great comfort to know that the Lord is sovereign even over this virus that is in our midst? But here he created all things, and there are many, and they will seek to say that the book of Genesis, the creation account in Genesis, it's not something to be believed. And I'm talking of people who would be in professing Christian circles. But yet, if you were to scrap the book of Genesis, you also have to rip out verses like these in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Amos. But he is sovereign, he is powerful, he created all things, but he is also just. He is also just. Did Abraham not say, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" He is just, and he will be the one who will judge the world at the end of time, as we read in Revelation chapter 20. But then this person who we are to seek, he is also merciful. "For the Lord, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this world to die on the cross at Calvary, to shed his blood to make an atonement for the sins of men. He sent his son to die Oh, what love, what wondrous love, the love of God to me. We think of the words of Jonah 2, verse 9, and how that the prophet there, he said that salvation is of the Lord. The Lord made that way of salvation. And friend, this morning, have you sought the person who we are to seek? Have you sought the Lord? Have you come seeking for him? But then we also see the procedure of seeking, because you maybe ask, well, I know I need to seek the Lord, but how do I seek him? The great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he put it like this: the readiest way to seek him is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Basically, you are to trust him. That is seeking. It is recognizing God's anointed Savior and placing your faith in him and in him alone. My friend, have you done that this morning? Are you trusting upon Christ? Are you resting upon him? Can you say with the hymn writer, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand"? Can you say that? But maybe, perhaps, you do not know much about the faith. Maybe you do not have much understanding. And we have to say that you cannot seek that which you know nothing about. But if you want to know more about seeking Christ, hear what the Lord himself had to say. If we look at John chapter 5 and the verse 39, we read there that the Lord is speaking, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The scriptures, they teach us about Christ. They testify about Christ. They tell us about him. My friend, do you know the scriptures today? There are many, and they write off the Old Testament scriptures. They say that the Old Testament has no relevance. I remember hearing maybe a year or two ago of someone who said that we didn't need to read the Old Testament because it was full of complicated laws and deep theology that we could never understand. But yet, when we just look at this verse in John chapter 5, it says, "Search the scriptures." What was the scriptures that the Lord was speaking about? It was the Old Testament. And even we think of the words of 2 Timothy and the chapter number 3. 2 Timothy and the chapter number 3 and the verse number 16. Where the Apostle Paul, he writes to Timothy, and he declares that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Those scriptures that the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy of were the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament has value, and it is something that we ought to study, and we ought to read, and we ought to seek to know. The Old Testament, they point us to Christ. It points us to the Lord. And if you read the scriptures, if you study the inspired and errant word of God, you will find, you will know of the one whom we are to seek, and you will know of how you are to seek him. You will know of the one whom Solomon was told to seek by his father David, and you will see how you can find him. It is there for all to see. But then we note the promise of seeking, and there is great assurance, for we read in our text, it says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee." What a great promise it is. What a great promise, for God, he cannot lie. He has stated here in his word, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee." The promise is true. The promise is fact. It can be believed, and friend, you can take great assurance from it. If you seek the Lord, you will find him. That is what this text teaches, and it is what Scripture teaches. We read the words of Jeremiah chapter 29, and in verse 12, you read, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." We are not to search for the Lord half-heartedly. We are not to search or to seek the Lord with, as it were, one foot in the world and the other foot going after the Lord. No, we are to go with all of our heart. We are not to seek him half-heartedly. We are to seek to follow Christ with our all. But what assurance it brings. Maybe there's one here and you're going through a difficult time. Maybe there's family problems. Maybe there's issues in the workplace. Maybe there's health issues, or maybe there's something spiritual. My friend, you can seek the Lord and bring the matters to Him. And if you seek the Lord about these matters, He has said that He will be found of thee. But then there's also an application to salvation. For if you call on the Lord for salvation, He has said in His word that He will save you. He has promised that He will be found. And the scriptures say much about the need to seek the Lord for salvation. Every man is a sinner. He is lost and needs to be born again. The prophet Joel, he spoke of the need to seek the Lord in Joel 2:28. And then he was quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And then also by the apostle Paul in Romans 10, verse 13, where it reads, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you call or you seek in the name of the Lord, you will find Him. You will be saved. If you acknowledge in the eyes of God that you are an unrighteous sinner, that you have sinned, and you call upon Him to deliver your soul from eternal damnation, He has said in His word that He will save you. Are the words of Christ in John chapter 6, verse 37, and not a further encouragement to come to Him, where He says, "There are him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Oh, what great words of comfort. You might be the biggest rogue in the local community, but yet if you come to the Lord in faith and repentance, you will not be cast out, but rather you will be received. We think perhaps of the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, know the backstory of this man. He's one of the most well-known characters in the scriptures. And we think of how that the first mention of him really was when he was present at the stoning of Stephen. And the men, they laid their coats at his feet. He was there giving his approval. Then later on, he proceeded to become a persecutor of the church. He was a man responsible for much destruction, for murder, for arresting the believers and locking them up in jail and doing all sorts of stuff. He was a wicked man. And then when he went down that Damascus road, he was going to Damascus with the aim of persecuting the church of Christ there in Damascus. But yet, on that road to Damascus, as Acts chapter 9 records for us, there was the Lord spoke to him. And that man was converted. He was a wicked man. He was an evil man. He was a sinful man. One of the most wicked men we could read of. But yet the Lord saved him. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking you've done many great deeds in the past. You've committed many sinful actions. And you're thinking the Lord wouldn't want me. Friend, if you call upon the name of the Lord, if you seek Him, you will find Him. But you must take note this morning, for if you do not seek, if you do not seek the Lord, you will never find Him. You cannot traverse through the path of life expecting, as it were, everything just to work out in the end regarding your soul. There's many, and they think that when it comes to the end of it, the Lord will just have mercy on them, and that they have nothing to worry about. They can just live their life and enjoy it, and nothing will happen at the end. But friend, that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture warns us. We think of Luke 16, the parable there, or the account of the rich man and Lazarus, and how that rich man, whenever he died, he was a lost sinner, and he went to be in torments. My friend, you must seek, and that is what this text states. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. And that was what Solomon was told. Solomon was to seek the Lord. If he wanted to find the Lord, if he wanted to have the Lord, he had to seek Him. He would never find the Lord by not seeking Him. My friend, this morning you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek Him just as much as Solomon here had to seek Him. Let me ask this morning, have you sought the Lord? Have you sought Him for His salvation? You have an opportunity this morning. You've heard of the need to seek the Lord. But friend, if you haven't called upon Him, I exhort you to call upon Him. Or will you delay? You've had a great privilege. It's a great privilege to hear the gospel. We think of Felix there in Acts chapter 24. And how that Felix, he was a man who heard the apostle Paul preach. He preached him of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. He heard one of the greatest preachers that this world has seen. But yet he sent the apostle on his way. He said, on a more convenient season, I will call for thee. He had a great opportunity. Same can be said for Herod, and I think it's the next chapter. He said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Does that describe you tonight? Are you delaying? Are you dithering? Are you taking your time? Do you maybe want a more convenient season? Friend, this morning is the convenient season. Will you ignore the warnings throughout Scripture? Or will you seek the Lord today? Isaiah 55 verse 6 tells us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hosea 10 tells us that it is time to seek the Lord. Have you sought him this morning? Oh, what words of comfort these verses bring us. That if we seek the Lord, we will find him. They tell us how we can find him. And what a great assurance that promise gives us. But then we note secondly this morning that there is a word of caution in this text. We note the but in the text. It reads, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But. How important the buts of Scripture are. And this word, it really swings us to the opposite of what has just been said. It brings us to consider the outcome of not seeking the Lord. Many today, they like to focus on the positives, and everything has to be, I suppose, a positive in all that is said. And we've done that thus far this morning. We've looked at the positive side of the text. We focused on that great word of comfort. But we must also take note that in this text, there is something that is negative. The psalmist praised the Lord for his mercy in Psalm 101, but he also praised him for his judgment. And we must warn people of that judgment that is to come. And warnings are essential. We could perhaps take the illustration of when we're out driving. I'm sure most of us, certainly who are adults, we are driving, and we know the value of road signs. For if we think if we were driving down the road and we were to come across some hazard, whether it be roadworks or whether it be a windy road or a roundabout or some sort of hazard, if we didn't know about it in advance, it would be very dangerous. Our lives would be at risk. But we have these road signs dotted across the roads of our country in order to give us advance warning of the dangers that lie ahead. And we could say the same about the Scriptures. The Scriptures contain many words of warning. Many words that, as it were, they are warning signs to help us to prepare for what comes in the future. And this text that we have, it contains one, for it tells us, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. What solemn words our text has. We ought to take them most seriously and to consider them most carefully. We ought to take them to heart and to remember them. For it is a sobering thought. Solomon is warned here. After being told by his father to seek the Lord, and that if he sought the Lord, he would find him, he is then told that if he forsakes the Lord, he will be cast off forever. It was a word of warning. And it's a word of warning to Solomon. But it was also a word of warning to us as individuals and to us even as a denomination. Because just because the Lord has blessed us, the Lord blessed Israel in the days gone by, it did not guarantee future blessing. Sadly, many today, in this age in which we live, they may have, as it were, a form of godliness, as is said in 2 Timothy 3, and I think it's verse 5, but they are not truly seeking after the Lord. Many are happy to come and to sit in a pew. They go through the motions, but yet their hearts are not right. In their hearts, they have forsaken the Lord. Many, they get caught up with the material things of this world. And we think of the words of Mark 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This morning, friend, are you more concerned about the material things of this world than those of your soul? It's very sad and sobering that King Solomon, having received this advice, that he did not take it. If we look over at 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings and the chapter 11, we see that Solomon, he did not take his father's advice. King David had made many a mistake, and he was a man who committed many a great sin. He did many things wrong. He was not a perfect man. But he knew how important it was to seek the Lord and not to forsake him. He knew from his own experience, he had, as it were, we could say, he had learnt the hard way. But sadly, Solomon did not heed his counsel. And if we look at 1 Kings and the chapter 11, and then in verse 3 we read, it says, "And he's had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." How sad it is to read those words. Then in verse 6 it says, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Solomon disobeyed God. He married multiple wives, and that led him to worship false gods. He was led away by all these multitudes of wives that he had. How sad, how sobering that this man, who was gifted with great wisdom by the Lord, he did not take his father's advice. He lost his way. He went astray. He forsook the Lord. And there were consequences for his sin. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9 we read, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will do it for David. I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." The kingdom was split after the death of Solomon. That was the consequences of his sin. That kingdom, it was split. And it is true that sin has its consequences. We think back to David and how he had sinned with Bathsheba, and that had led to the murder of Uriah. And it is said that by many commentators that David was not the same man after that happened. Forsaking the Lord, it has consequences. And it's a sobering thought, and we must make a sincere plea, because these words are as true today as they were all those years ago when David uttered them to Solomon. No matter what the old modernist or the Bible denier, the liberal or the rationalist, whatever they say today about God's word, the fact is that God's word is true. It is relevant. And if we forsake the Lord, we cannot expect him to bless us. But we must be warned. We may not have 700 wives like Solomon, but there may be other things that are leading us away from the Lord, preventing us from seeking his face, preventing us from following and obeying the commands of God, causing us to forsake him. We must be warned. We must heed David's counsel. He gave this counsel to Solomon as a father to a son, as a king to an heir, and what wise counsel it was. That is the counsel that we seek to leave with you this morning. That text which says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." It's a great word of caution. It's a great word of warning. But there's also great comfort in it. For if you seek the Lord, you will find him. The old prophet Amos, he said, "Seek the Lord and ye shall live." And this morning I plead with you. Do not forsake the Lord, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. May each one of us seek the Lord with all of our hearts this morning. Amen.